We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwynn and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
The conspiracies are running wild on the internet.
Of course
and you
they
know
are.
That I love.
It's right into your
I
alley.
I love conspiracies.
And Chris Ello.
You get a soaking wet, ice cold washcloth sized towel and just wrap it around your neck or whatever you're doing. It'll help keep you cool. Tell them Uncle Chris said so.
Uncle Chris.
Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I didn't know it's my turn to introduce us because this is not American Idiot. Welcome back to the program. Gwynn and Chris from Petco Park. Hour number three, final hour together on this Tuesday. We actually haven't heard enough of that song lately. That's Kirby Yates' song coming in to save the ball game out of the bullpen. He's only had, what, two since the All-Star break?
We haven't heard it much at all in the second half.
No, they got to get that thing going again. But you know what the Padres have to do is they have to get from their starting pitcher to Kirby Yates, and they haven't been able to do that right now with their bullpen really struggling, allowing 18 hits in the last eight and a third innings of work. And last night it was Trey Wingenter, Carl Edwards Jr. The night before it was Craig Stammen. It just hasn't been going well for the Padre bullpen, and that's why this ball club continues to struggle out of the All-Star break. Eight games under 500 since the All-Star break. The Padres are 10-18, so it has not gone the way they wanted. Tampa Bay's in for game number two of a three-game series, and the Rays are 70-50.
That's crazy.
That really is. You know, I was thinking about, part of it is, they get to play the Orioles a bunch, and they get to play Toronto, but Toronto's getting a little better now that they get some of those kids up. But when you're in a division with the Red Sox and the Yankees, I mean, look, that's like the Padres say, everybody says about the Padres, it's so tough for the Padres to ever win this division because they got to beat out the Dodgers. But that's just one team.
Right.
Tampa Bay's got to beat two gigantic franchises. And, you know, more often than not, they do beat them. I mean, last year they won 90 games and just came up a little short of a wild card.
Would you say the only team to win 90
They were the
games?
Only one to win 90 last year and miss the playoffs. They got 70 already this year, so they're certainly well on their way to winning 90 again. You know, people talk about how great the Houston franchise has been and the Cubs, and you got to copy this team and that team. You could do a whole lot worse than copying the Tampa Bay Rays.
No, there's no doubt. And you know what's interesting is that they kind of changed up their philosophy. You look at this team that's constructed now, it's a bunch of some would say misfits from other organizations that they've compiled and have all of a sudden turned them into a 20 games over 500 type
Whatever
team.
We do, though, let's not refer to Matt Duffy as a misfit from another organization.
Why? Because his cat passed?
he's already had a tough enough day on this show is why. That's why I'm saying that.
I can get down with that. But in the past, Tampa was the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
They got good because they acquired a bunch of talent through the draft, brought them up,
right,
developed them, and then they released them on the field. And they kind of still have the same philosophy when it comes to that because eventually you got to pay these guys. And, you know, after a while, they get to that time and you can't pay them. They all move on or they get traded. So this is a little bit different way they've gotten there, but nevertheless, the results have continue to be the same.
I have to say that I really do believe Tampa Bay, and this is a team that we pay so little attention to here in San Diego. Obviously, American League, they're in the East Coast. They, you know, we just don't know a whole lot about them. They really deserve to be lumped right in there with the most successful franchises in baseball. I really think that. I mean, you know, starting from when Joe
Madden, on the field.
Yeah, when Joe Madden. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They
and that's part of it. It is that they're able to still go out there and play well with no fans, no fanfare. Even Matt Duffy said, not exactly the world's greatest stadium.
I loved how he said St. Pete, you know, because.
Yeah, they don't even play in Tampa. Yeah. Kevin Cash does a great job with Tampa Bay. And game two of the series tonight, we'll see if Eric Lauer can get a win for the Padres. They haven't beaten the Tampa Bay Rays in 9 years. The Padres have not. All right. It's been a crazy show today. What with talk of cats and with talks of all kinds of scraby mess ups.
Wait a second.
What, you haven't messed up? How many times have you messed up today? At least a dozen.
I can't say that the cat thing was my bad.
No, you definitely can. As a matter of fact, you have to say that was your
bad. You really should take it.
I advise Chris not to ask the question during the interview.
You pointed it
out
to me.
You were begging us to ask the question.
That was my only mistake of the day.
It was such a big one, though.
It was one of the larger ones in my radio career.
Yeah, and I will, you know, when people ask me like 10 years from now, what was the most embarrassing moment of your radio career? That's going to get in the discussion. I can tell you that for sure.
Nice work, Scraby.
I'll be forever remembered.
Yeah, isn't that nice? But so might yesterday's moment.
Oh, no.
Tony, you missed this one. But I figure while we're having a crazy show, we might as well let everybody listen in on what took place last night. Now, what happened was Tony had to go, as he will here shortly, to get ready for his radio broadcast. And we had already, you and I, recorded the countdown before you left.
Right.
And we played the countdown yesterday a little past 5:30. Problem was, when the recording of the countdown was done, neither Scraby nor I was on the headset to bring us back. And it sounded like this.
Number one
for me is a guy that I thought was on the sleeper list last year. And he actually, I drafted him, and he came through. He had a pretty nice season. But this is the year he takes a step into the upper echelon. So that's why I put him in the sleeper category, even though he's already decent. And that's Kenny Golladay, the wide receiver of the Detroit Lions. Out of Northern Illinois, last season. Wait for it.
This is live.
This is happening live right now.
Back here at Petco Park, Crisello, Matt Scraby. Tony is now off to do TV for good now.
That's how it went, huh?
That's how it went.
Yeah, it was really bad.
We are now at Petco Park live.
Matt Scraby had no idea what to say or do or how to handle that mishap.
Crisello, Matt Scraby, Tony is now off to do TV for good.
You know what I do?
So that long pause is him panicking right there. He's
panicking.
Trying to figure out what else I can say.
Because I'm trying, because I don't want to yell to Chris while we're on the air, like, hey, we're back. So I'm like trying to hit him.
Yeah, no, you weren't trying. You were hitting
him. And with Thomas, one more time, listen to Chris at the end. He goes, oh, we're back?
Back here at Petco Park, Crisello, Matt Scraby, Tony is now off to do TV for good now.
He is?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. High quality programming we got going on over here.
That's hilarious.
Yes, we are going to take that moment and send that out as our clip.
For the Emmys?
Well, I wouldn't say the Emmys. We're not on television.
Okay.
But maybe we would send it out for the Grammys, because we might win a Grammy for that for that particular segment there. That is the high-quality stuff you have come to expect on the Gwynn and Chris show here on 97.3 The Fan. We are so proud. all right. That was a moment yesterday. Tony, can you call a game tonight in under 4.5 hours, you think?
I certainly hope so.
My goodness. You were also working with Ted, which means Ted did the play-by-play for the whole 4 hours.
Indeed.
Was he getting a little crusty there near the end?
Nope.
You know, he hung in there?
Ted hung in there.
Attaboy, Ted. Attaboy.
Me, that's on the other hand,
you weren't hanging
rusty
in there.
I was a little rusty.
That's a long game last night.
It was.
I mean, when I was watching the end of it, and it got over about 11 o'clock, and I was like, man, if I was there, I'd have to do the post game right now, and I'd be there like
forever. I'm not
even
going to lie to you guys. I stopped keeping score in like the eighth inning. I just, like, you know what? I'm tired of writing names down. I'm done.
I am one of the last people to jump over there to the side of people who say that baseball's taking too long, but I'm over on that side of the fence now.
They have got
to start finding some pitchers who can throw some strikes and get some batters out and get the pace of this game going again, because shouldn't happen 3 hours and 47 minutes for a regulation nine-inning game.
The game tells you that just throwing strikes gets you more outs.
Yes. Throw strikes. They'll put the ball in play. The game will move along.
Yeah.
You can even have a high-scoring game as long as the ball is being put in play and things are happening.
Action.
But, oh, man, last night was
that was rough.
That was a tough one to sit through last night, especially when you lose it 10-4.
Yeah.
Get blown out late in the ball game, and then Kinsler had pitched the ninth inning. That was kind of the highlight for everybody. I had a weird thing. Here's the thing. This is just me. I admit this is just me. But after Kinsler came up in the bottom of the ninth last night and he hit his two-run home run that made the score 10-4, and, of course, it was a little interesting because he had been pitching in the top of the ninth. He was sitting on the bench, and they showed a shot of Will Myers. And Will and he were really kind of laughing about what was happening. And I took that the wrong way because they were losing 10-4. And am I the only one that, and I'm not mad at Will Myers or mad at Kinsler. I'm sure they were just sharing a moment and probably kidding himself about, hey, you're a pretty good hitting pitcher. That type of comment was probably what was made. And they laughed a little bit. Am I wrong to, like, have that bother me a little bit as a fan and say, man, I'm losing 10-4. I don't want to see any of my guys laughing. Or should we, you know, not take it so seriously?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I think it's there's a part of you that I think it's reasonable to feel like, what are you guys laughing at?
Yeah.
But the other part of it, the other side of the coin is that you're getting whooped. No position player really wants to pitch. No position player does. So the fact that you go out there and you're willing to go out there and pitch, knowing you don't throw hard, knowing you don't have any of the attributes that you want as a pitcher, and you go out and you get some guys out, it is something to kind of laugh about a little bit,
right?
Because you know you've been on the other side having to face a pitcher that's not a pitcher before,
right?
And nobody wants to make it out to him. You know, you're like, there's no way this guy should be getting me out. But a lot of times you get out,
yeah,
and you got to wear it. So I think on one sense, yes, I completely understand that thought. I feel the same way. But on the other hand, it's like, okay, they are asking a position player to pitch. That in itself is something to kind of laugh about.
It's a little
about.
Bit something to smile
yeah.
about. Yeah, I think you're right. In fact, I mean, when I was getting a little bit perturbed as I watched it, I had a feeling I might bring it up on the show today, but I had a feeling that I really wasn't
I don't think you're all the way wrong, though.
Okay.
I'd say it's 50-50. You're allowed to feel like that as long as you can see it from the other side of
it. Kyler Murray, the quarterback of the Cardinals, in his first game, quarterback, who said he found it really weird after the preseason game, even after they won, going across the field to shake hands with the players on the Chargers.
Right.
He said, if I lose a game, I don't know that I'm going to be able to do that.
Right.
And I like to hear that. 100%. That was kind of refreshing to me.
That's fine.
I want to feel like my players are really taking it hard when they lose.
Yeah.
You know,
because
I'm taking it hard when they lose as a fan. So I want to feel they're feeling the same way.
I completely understand. I mean, you build up for that one game per week.
Yeah.
I can totally understand. In baseball, it's not like this is the first loss you have. I mean, you pile up so many. You don't want to become numb to it, but you certainly can't let it run your life.
No, you're right about that. You're right about that. Because if you do, then you would run yourself into the ground by mid-June.
Exactly.
All right, Tony's got a roll. He's going to get ready for the broadcast tonight. Hopefully it'll be a nice, smooth, quick broadcast. Tony.
And a win.
And a win. Yeah, get a win tonight. Even up this series. Scraby and I are coming back. We've got a lot more headed your way, including a visit with Matt Duffy. And also, we have our countdown. And our countdown today focuses on the amazing season of Fernando Tatis Jr. So stick around. Gwen and Chris from Petco Park, continues in just a moment here. Gwynn and Chris back at Petco Park, 524 on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, America's finest city. Tony Gwynn Jr. heading on over to get ready for his radio broadcast tonight. He'll be working with Ted Leitner. Chris Ello, that's me, I think. We'll have the I'm not sure I want to admit that today, the way things have gone on this crazy show. But I will have the pregame for us at about 6:10 coming up here in a little while. And then 7:10 will be the first pitch tonight. It'll be Eric Lauer. A little pressure on Eric Lauer tonight, Scraby. He's got to come up with a big effort. And that means if he's got to give up three or four runs and fight through it, then he's got to do that, because this bullpen is shambles is a little bit of a strong word, but it's closing in on shambles right now. I mean, when you got Craig Stammen getting beat up two games in a row, last night you had Trey Wingenter. He has pitched very poorly since coming back from the minor leagues. They put Munoz in that eighth inning role, and he let two ball games get away. Mm-hmm. So, where do you go? I mean, they recalled Robbie Erlen today. Carl Edwards Jr. goes on the injured list. He struggled badly last night. You know, the Padre bullpen, we are so used to it always being a strength of this team. But right now it's not, and I think it's because it's the same reason we've been giving all year long. The starters have not gone deep enough into games, and these relievers are wearing out. I mean, Craig Stammen can give up runs, and I will never lose faith in the ability of Craig Stammen. I think when this team, you know, gets to where it's in contention for an entire season, I think Craig Stammen is part of the solution, part of the reason why this team will be there. But you can't overuse anybody. It doesn't matter who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think Stammen has been, unfortunately, kind of a victim of that this year. He's been sent out there on days when he just hasn't had his best stuff. And he's been hit around a little bit more often than we're used to seeing. And Trey Wingenter, I'm not sure where his head's at right now. I got to be honest with you. I like Trey Wingenter, but I think he's got Darren Balsley, so he's got a pretty good resource there.
He does.
But he needs to start taking in some of that information from Darren Balsley and understand a little bit more about pitching and a little less about just throwing hard. Because I just think right now Trey Wingenter doesn't really have a really good idea what he's trying to do out there. Because there's no reason that a guy with his stuff should be getting hit around the way he's been getting hit around. Unless you're just not making good pitches. And he's just not making good pitches. Now, they sent him down to the minor leagues. I thought that might be kind of a wake-up call for him. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's gone backwards. It's gone the other way. He's been worse since coming back from the minor leagues than he was before he went to the minor leagues. So Padres got some issues in that bullpen right now, and we know about the starting rotation. I mean, they get into the fifth inning, they get into the sixth inning, a couple guys get on base, and these kids are pulled out of the game. And that, you know, it used to be where you're like, all right, good, we're into our bullpen now, we're into the strength of the team. Now I'm not so sure I'm in a big hurry to get to the bullpen anymore.
Yeah, and then you got Kirby Yates, who can't get into the game. You said that when we came in. And,
yeah.
And sometimes when he is getting into the game, they're bringing him in with five outs to go, and he's not used to the five outs thing. And so they're trying to use him because he hasn't been used, but it's kind of backfiring on them in that way because it's a different situation.
I think both of his
him.
Blown saves this year have come on four
out.
Or five out
yeah.
save opportunities. Of course, he's 0-3 against the Dodgers this year. And you know what? Kirby's not the only guy who's lost to the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers have been beating on everybody all season. But, no, they can't get to Kirby Yates right now. We talked about it earlier. We haven't heard the Metallica song since the All-Star break, practically.
But speaking of Kirby Yates, look what's going on down in the field right now. All those kids sitting around Kirby Yates as he's signing autographs.
Well, there's no question. Kirby's a class guy all the way around. There's no question about that. And almost every one of these Padre guys are very similar. I just want to see, you know, right now, they call it the bridge from the starter to the closer. And the Padres' bridge is broken right now. Mm-hmm. And until they get that fixed, it doesn't really matter. Manny Machado's in a slump. We understand that. But if you were with us earlier, there was one guy out here taking batting practice at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Second day in a row.
And that was Manny Machado. And he hit out here for probably 25 minutes, a half an hour by himself, taking swings off a curveball machine. And looked to me like he was just trying to stay back, go the other way. That's normally what good hitters do when they feel like they're in a slump. They you know, when they get into a slump, they feel like they're pull happy too much. They're lunging, and they're pulling everything. Machado wants to try to get himself to sit back and wait for that ball to get a little deeper in the strike zone. Now I'm trying to sound like I'm a hitting coach, which is ridiculous.
You're doing way better than I would.
I know I'm really faking it out, but I was just watching Machado today take the BP. He was hitting most everything to right field, and I think that's his way of trying to, you know, just say, hey, look, I got to wait a little longer, get out of this little slump that he's in right now. And Fernando Tatis is in a little – it's
mini
only
slump.
Two games.
Mini slump.
But after he went 14 games in a row with a hit, he's gone 0-9 in the last two. So we'll see if Fernando can get raking again tonight.
If you want to see the picture of Manny Machado, I have it on my Twitter, at Matt Scraby, or you can go to at 97.3TheFanSD because it's up there as well. But the comments of it were, oh, he makes $300 million. He should be out there. Well, what I have to say to that is – Maybe he should be out there, but he doesn't have to, and he is out there. I don't know about other guys around the league that are taking batting practice at 3 p.m. on game 119.
No, there's a lot of guys that don't make $30 million that were not out there
exactly.
Taking any extra batting practice today. But Manny Machado was the last 2 days, and as I said to Tony earlier, and we kind of kicked it around a little bit, superstars have one thing in common, and that is A, they work harder than anybody, and B, they don't tolerate failure too well.
Yes.
And a little 2-for-27 slump is not something that Manny Machado looks at lightly.
No.
And I think if you're a Padre fan, that ought to make you excited about Manny Machado. You should be happy he's out there. He's working to get out of a slump. And baseball, you get slumps. Believe me, Tony Gwynn Sr. had some slumps too. Everybody's whoever played the game has had slumps. But the guys that can limit those slumps are the guys that are more effective, and
exactly.
They're the ones that can become stars.
I'm glad he's on our team.
I am too. And, you know, the coach had his show this afternoon, and people were calling in whining and complaining about Manny Machado, and I'm like, what's going on here?
It's crazy.
Are you serious? Would you rather the Padres not have Manny Machado on this ball club? Or, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, next year
when
they're going down the stretch and they're fighting for a playoff spot, I'm pretty sure you're going to want Manny Machado on the team.
Pretty sure you're going to want him on the team, and pretty sure that no matter what's happened with him at the plate, he is still a delight to watch play third base because he hasn't taken any of that with him on defense. He's just been magnificent to watch all season long. All right, game two of the series coming up. When we come back, though, before we get to all that, our countdown, and today's countdown is going to focus on some of the greatness of Fernando Tatis Jr. Stick around for that. All right, welcome back to Gwynn and Chris from Petco Park. 5:37. Tuesday afternoon, coming up at 6:10, Padre pregame show. 7:10, Padres and their uniform lookalikes, the Tampa Bay Rays, going at it tonight. So tough to just look down on the field and try to figure out which team's taking infield right now. But that, I believe, is the Rays. Tampa Bay. But the colors are just so similar to the Padres.
They are.
Not going to be that way next year. Not anymore. All right, we're going to get to our countdown here shortly. And it's going to have to do with some of the greatness of Fernando Tatis Jr. But before we do that, Mark Mudcat Grant, Padres Television Network, was on with Ben and Woods this morning. And they asked him about Fernando Tatis Jr. And as usual, Mudcat had some interesting things to say.
You know, the East Coast bias, he won the home run derby. That's great. Hey, Pete Alonso, don't get me wrong.
Good player.
Very good player. Very, very good player. Having a great year. The home runs are sexy, the RBIs are sexy, and what Fernando has against him is, of course, the 5 weeks or so where he was out. But I look at, and you know what, shame on the writers if they solely, and I'm not saying every writer does this, but it's so subjective. You got to look at the whole body of work,
yes.
His base running, his glove, his, you know, his attitude, what he brings to the team. Sure, the Padres are 22.5, whatever, games out, but look, what 20-year-old makes a big league team And then over the course of the early part of the season, comes with a sign after getting a base hit as the Sugarcane Chop, and the whole team is buying in.
And the minor leagues are now doing it. The minors are doing it. The kid is infectious.
Yeah, so his influence on the team, it's just been incredible. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. We've seen good rookies be on the team and produce and have good seasons. But the impact all the way around for Fernando has just been unbelievable. And when you look at it, last night when he made that play, I said, Pete Alonso doesn't make that play. Well, of course he doesn't, because he doesn't play shortstop.
All right, good stuff from Mark Grant talking about Fernando Tatis Jr., which leads us into today's countdown. Top five moments for Fernando Tatis Jr. so far in 2019.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour. Right. Sorry.
Go ahead, Scrappy. Sorry.
This hour is brought to you by the Del Mar Racetrack. Every Wednesday at Del Mar is free and easy. Get stretch run admission, free program, and a free seat. Enjoy world-famous Brigantine tacos for just $3 plus $6 Coors Light pints.
Nice.
I know, that is a good deal.
Good deal. It's free. I like that.
Yeah, that is free. It's good.
As a journalist, and I still consider myself to be one.
You are.
Despite today's proceedings.
You write a weekly blog for 97.3thefansd.com.
Well, radio can be you can be a journalist on the radio
oh,
as
yes,
well.
You can.
As long as you don't ask people dumb questions like about their dead cat.
The PR guy I've been looking for him all day because I want to go apologize.
You want to go apologize? Well, I want to also, so we'll go find him together.
Okay. All right.
All right. Speaking of that, Matt Duffy, that interview will be on here in about 10 minutes. It was a really, really good interview.
It was.
Till it went south right at the end.
Till I gave Chris bad information.
You did. All right, let's go to the countdown. We did two different countdowns, but the same topic. Mm-hmm. The greatness of Fernando Tatis Jr. Now, Tony kind of, this is his countdown. You're reading it for him.
Yes.
You guys worked on it together?
Yeah, he pretty much gave me what he wants.
All right, so he gave you the five best, moments,
plays
of the season so far?
Yes. Yeah, moments.
All right, I'm going to give you the five best Fernando Tatis Jr. stats so far this season.
Oh, I love it.
All right, so where do you want to go first? Me or you?
I'll start first.
He just said number five. Go.
Hit it, Thomas.
2-2. Line Tatis up with a backhand. He's got it. Perfectly timed leap. You got some hops on, among any other thing I can mention. And think of.
Number five of best Fernando Tatis Jr. play this year was last night's catch for Tony Gwynn Jr. off of Jesus Aguilar. It was a rocket. I have no idea how Tatis caught it. He seems to keep one-upping himself every single game. So that one comes in at number five for Tony because he thinks there has been bigger things that have happened this season.
Well, all right. That was a great play last night. I mean, people were just talking about it all night, all day long. Somebody measured with StatCast. I have to take StatCast with a grain of salt, but they said he got 10 foot 3 inches off the ground.
For some reason,
which means he could have slam dunked from where he caught that ball.
I fully believe that. But for some reason, he's able to get like an extra foot out of his arm. I have no idea how he did it. It was amazing.
Because he's 20 years old. And he can do things like that. All right, my number five stat on the greatness of Fernando Tatis Jr. He stole two bases Friday against the Colorado Rockies. By doing that, he joined Nomar Garciaparra in 1997. He's the only rookie shortstop, along with Garciaparra, to have a 20 home run, 15 stolen base season.
Wow.
And by the way, Garciaparra was named Rookie of the year that he accomplished that feat. Think about that, though. All of the shortstops in the history of the game, Cal Ripken, A-Rod, I mean, some decent shortstops, Ernie Banks.
Yeah.
And there's been two guys that have had a 2015 season in their rookie year. One is Nomar, and now the other is Fernando.
Wow.
Now that's only number five. He's got four stats better than that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know.
Number four.
Right-handed 61st pitch. High fly ball deep left field. I thought he got it all at the wall. Ball going, ball gone. Car rushed by Fernando Tatis Jr., his second of the series. What a fantastic
young ball player. This ball game, glad you asked. Tied in the fourth.
Of course, Fernando Tatis Jr. hitting a home run is on the list, but that was, I believe that was number three. Number four was actually Tatis in Arizona on April 14th. He robbed Caleb Joseph. He kind of flared one up the middle, and Tatis Jr. came out of nowhere, diving, caught the ball, and that's, I think, when people started believing in the Tatis magic, was April 14th.
April 14th. That was right off the bat.
Yeah.
All right, my number four stat on Fernando Tatis Jr., he has 22 home runs this season,
yes.
I believe, right now. I get to make sure because he's hitting him at such a rapid rate.
He is.
He has joined Alex Rodriguez and Houston's Carlos Correa as the only three shortstops ever to hit more than 18 home runs at the age of 20.
It's crazy.
And he's the only National League shortstop ever to do it.
Wow.
Right? Because A-Rod and Carlos Correa both did it in the American
True.
League. So every single shortstop that's ever made their debut at the age of 20, Tatis has hit more home runs than any of them.
That's
And
insane.
He's still counting.
Yes,
I mean, it's
he is.
Not the end of the season yet.
Good stuff.
All right, number three, I think we just heard the highlight of his home run.
Number three.
It was a home run against the Cardinals on April 5th, and it was off of Alex Reyes, and it put the Padres up. So I'm not sure what the home run was. He's hit 22 of them. Doesn't matter. It's a good call no matter what.
He's hit so many big ones, especially against the Dodgers, I thought, in that Dodgers series. When he went up there and took three out of four.
Oh, yeah.
He had the two home run game up there.
And
he's had some big ones, and he's also had six leadoff home runs this year, which is off the charts.
Tony said specifically about this home run against the Cardinals in St. Louis on April 5th was the wow moment because he hit his home run to the left field, and it just shocked everyone because it was his second of his young career.
And it also was in the ballpark where his dad played most of his career.
True.
All right, my number three stat on Fernando Tatis Jr., his 22 home runs and 16 stolen bases post him or place him among five other Major League Baseball stars in the last 60 years to get 20 home runs and 15 steals before they turn the age of 21. Listen to the rest of the names. Ronald Acuna Jr., who did it last year, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, A-Rod, and Ken Griffey Jr.
That is a list.
Is that a list or what? And Fernando Tatis Jr. is on that list. Those are the only guys who have done that in the last 60 years. Of course, Ken Griffey Jr. is in the Hall of Fame. Alex Rodriguez. Should be, could be, might be, will be someday a Hall of Famer. Mike Trout. He's already kind of in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Even though he's still playing.
Pretty much.
So that's a great list to be a part of. Fernando Tatis Jr. is on that.
Number two.
Bags are jammed. The 2-1 pitch. Line drive. Base hit center field. Here comes the first one. Will Myers. Here comes Kinsler. They got a throw. It's up the first base. Up the third base line. The ball game right here, right now. Tied by my San Diego Padres. How about them, boys?
Now that one was the base hit in Colorado that extended the game. They ended up winning 16-12. Ended up launching one of the craziest series of all time.
But that was the two-run single that capped us. What was in a six-run ninth-inning rally or something that tied the game?
He pretty much kept the game alive.
Yeah, they were down 10-4 going to the ninth inning. He tied it with a clutch two-out, two-run single.
So that was Tony Gwynn Jr.'s number two Fernando Tatis Jr. moment of the season.
All right, my number two stat on Fernando Tatis Jr., he, among all Major League rookies, leads in OPS and slugging, and he ranks second in on-base percentage, batting average, and stolen bases.
Wow.
And in this season, with all the unbelievable rookies that are out there, to rank in the top two of all five of those crucial categories, pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Number one.
Pitch to Hunter. Fastball popped up. That will not score a run. Drifting over, second baseman Newman. Having played more toward the bag, he'll go out there on the grass beyond second. Tagging for Fernando. Coming home, the throw, the tag. Tag
nice.
For home place. How about that boy? Son of a gun. He's unbelievable. 1-0 Padres. Got the hand in.
Real quick, Thomas, can we play Tony's reaction again?
That was Tony.
Hey, that's the home place. How about that boy?
He goes, nice.
It was nice.
That is Tony Greer's number one play of the year.
Obviously, hey, that's home place.
You could hear him in the booth with Uncle Teddy, and that's when he tagged up on Kevin Newman, Pirates second baseman, and scored from third base while the ball was in the infield.
Yes, the scorebook for Hunter Renfro on that play read sacrifice fly
to the second baseman. Never again will that be read.
No, it was read again Tatis Jr.'s done that twice this season.
Insane.
That was not the only time he did it. That was the first time he did it. All right, my number one Fernando Tatis Jr. statistic is that among all Major League players, that's all of them, this year, he ranks sixth in OPS. He ranks sixth in slugging. He ranks eighth in batting average. So he's in the top 10 of all three slash categories. Batting average, on-base percentage, slugging, and OPS. He's there in every single category. And he's only a rookie, and that's including every major leaguer in baseball.
That's insane.
That's insane, and that's what you got. I mean, you got to send this list right on into all of the voters so that they make sure that they get that rookie of the year vote right. Because I mean, I love Pete Alonso. I really do like Pete Alonso a lot.
I do too. Seems to have a good attitude.
But he's got the home runs. He's got the home run derby. He's got New York City. But he doesn't have everything that Fernando Tatis Jr. has.
Yeah.
All right, there's our countdown.
The countdown is now closed.
All right. Earlier today, Matt Duffy joined us, the third baseman, formerly the San Francisco Giants, now with the Tampa Bay Rays. If you're at the game last night, you had a pretty good idea who he is. He had four hits, drove in three runs, and he joined Tony and I a little earlier today.
Matt Duffy joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Matt Duffy, thanks for coming on the show, and man, I got to tell you, for a guy that's recently got off the DL, you didn't look like you missed too much of a beat there last night.
I appreciate that. A little up-and-down game for me. Made a couple errors as well that had some fans down the third baseline reminding me about all night. But yeah, it was a good end result for us.
Did you remind them that you had four hits? I mean, you got to even it out a little bit.
Okay, I did. Yeah, they were by the end of the night, they were congratulating me, and then you know they're like, "Hey, you got four hits." So I was like, "Oh yeah, thank goodness." And then he was like, "But you still got two errors." So I was like, "Yeah, I know. You're not going to let me forget it."
Fans are like elephants, man. They have these incredible memories. Matt Duffy is with us from the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm also thinking, not only feeling good about last night, but just in general playing again. To sit on the injured list with a hamstring injury, and then I know 2017 you had the Achilles surgery. So for you, it's just a joy to be playing baseball, I would think, and you really probably appreciate as much as not more than anybody.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, you know, the hardest part about being on the injured list, I think for anybody, is the mental aspect of it. Just not had this conversation with Blake Snell actually yesterday, just you know, feeling like you're not really fully a part of the team when you're on there. You're not in the trenches, you know, grinding with the guys. And, you know, to be back out there is that's why we play. We all want to be on the field, and it's frustrating when we're not. So to be back out there is, you know, that's like, again, that's why we're all out here.
Matt, to give our listeners a little background, I kind of went back and looked at some things. Lakewood High, then to Long Beach State after that, and you were a Giant. I got to see you play quite often on your way up and in the big leagues. Was it nice to get a kind of a fresh start when you got traded in 2016 from San Francisco to Tampa?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's always kind of two aspects of a trade, I think. It's always a little sad, I think, leaving, especially I was in a pretty good situation in San Francisco. We were fighting for a playoff spot at the time. So that was disappointing. It almost felt like getting broken up with a little bit. But on the flip side, it's you have somebody on the other side welcoming you with open arms that's really excited to have you. So it's kind of a mix of emotions for sure. And, you know, it takes some time to get comfortable in your new environment. But, you know, once you do, I think you're right back at home. And then once you get there, leaving that place kind of seems like, oh, man, that would stink as well. So, you know, it's a little bit maybe like moving a job or moving to a new city, you know, for anybody else, but once you get adjusted, it's, you know, back to business.
And the good thing is the humidity in Tampa is very similar to what you're used to growing up with in Long Beach. So that's
yeah, they're
plus.
Pretty much identical, I think. It's, we definitely. Do have that dome, though. That beautiful dome is
thankfully.
It's big, man. It dumps on us from 2 to 5 every afternoon, it seems like. So, you know, it's not the prettiest looking, but, hey, when you're underneath the dome and you hear the thunder and lightning outside, you're like, oh, okay, this isn't necessary.
Yeah, people can say whatever they want about that dome. You guys are very happy to have it. Matt Duffy is with us from the Tampa Bay Rays. 4-hit game last night as the Rays took the first of this series. Matt, let me ask you a little bit about this Tampa Bay, just the franchise in general. I mean, you're coming from one of the better franchises in all of baseball, the Giants, who won 3 World Series this decade. But I think a lot of us and fans in San Diego, I think, look at Tampa Bay and go, how come we can't be as good as Tampa Bay? I mean, that's a small market team. They're in a division with the Yankees and the Red Sox. And there you guys are, 70-50, having a fantastic season and coming off a 90-win season a year ago. How does Tampa Bay do it? I mean, what have you noticed since you've been there that kind of seems to give Tampa Bay an edge?
You know, I think that, you know, the front office does an outstanding job of thinking outside the box. I think, you know, they pioneered the shift 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, or at least brought it into the mainstream. And then, you know, you guys have seen the opener. You saw it last night. Worked very well. You know, that combined with their ability to spot players that are maybe a little underappreciated by other organizations, that they see something about their game, like, hey, maybe a little tweak here or there. And this guy could take off. You know, besides that, I think they do a really good job of just bringing in good baseball players, maybe not the sexiest names or, you know, launching 500-foot homers or stuff like that, but just quality baseball players. And, you know, for us this season specifically, our pitching staff has carried us. I mean, they have been so outstanding. Had a little rough stretch for about a month there in the middle of the season, but you know, they've just been dominant all year round. I think even with that rough stretch, they were still near the top of the league and ERA and all the whatever metric you want to measure them by. They've just been outstanding, and when they go, we go.
Matt Duffy joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, third baseman for the Rays. Matt, from the outside looking in, you look at the two organizations, and they seem completely different. Two-part question here. Has there been more similarities or differences between the Rays and the Giants? And talk a little bit about the two managers you've had the opportunity to play for. Bruce Bochy, who was in his last year in San Francisco, and one of the, I'd say already, I wouldn't even call him up-and-coming anymore. Kevin Cash has quickly become a manager that a lot of people are talking about. Talk about the differences or similarities between those two guys.
Yeah, I think back to the first part about the teams, I think honestly constructed very similarly, built on pitching and defense, and then, you know, you try to get timely hitting or as much hitting as you get. But, you know, I think if you're limiting runs, especially in ballparks like in San Francisco and in Tampa or St. Pete, where runs are a little harder to come by, they tend to play more pitcher's parks. You know, if you're limiting runs and you're putting up, you know, you don't have to put up a ton of runs in a pitcher's park, to win ball games. So I think those are some similarities. The differences would be, I think, the youth. You know, we're obviously a lot younger team, than we had when I was in San Francisco. But the managers are also very different. Bochy, in my time there, I mean, they did their homework, but I also feel, you know, you'd have to ask him directly, but I feel as if, you know, when he was looking for a pinch hitter, he would look around the bench and just look guys in the eye and just be like, yep,
right,
you're the one, you know? And
more of a gut thing, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think definitely he would take into account matchups and, you know, all the numbers that go along with it, but he also understood that there was a human side to the game that that couldn't exactly be quantified, and it worked for a really long time. And he was outstanding. I really enjoyed when he would look around the bench, and if he picked you, it was like he sees something right now. Like, I'm about to get a hit. I'm about
to get knocked.
You started
believing it yourself, right?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
think I can even get a hit here, but he must think so.
Yeah, exactly. It's like angels in the outfield. Like, I got an angel on my shoulder or something. Yeah, and then here, you know, Cash and the staff here are much more analytically driven, and they've had outstanding success with it. You know, Cashy himself is very laid back. Pretty much all we do is talk crap to each other back and forth. That's like his way of motivating. And it's also his way of saying, like, look, I don't care if you just made an error or you just struck out. Like, you know, obviously if he's, you know, talking banter with you, you know, he doesn't care too much. Just he wants you to play hard. That's it.
Right.
You know, so that keeps the, you know, the atmosphere loose in the dugout, in the clubhouse. We have a great vibe in here. The chemistry is just outstanding. You know, it makes for a really enjoyable place to come play baseball every day.
Hey, have a great trip here to San Diego, and enjoy the rest of your week here in town, and best of luck to the Rays.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Whoa.
That was awesome.
That almost knocked me off my chair, that new swoosh there. Thank you to Matt Duffy from the Tampa Bay Rays for joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now at sdccu.com. Before we wrap things up on the program, let's pause for a moment or two here for station identification. This is the Padres Radio Network.
KWFNFM, KWFN HD1 San Diego, radio.com sports station.
Hi, I'm catcher Austin Hedges of the San Diego Padres.
The Padres play here.
2-0 Padres. RBI double. Austin Hedges, a six-game hitting streak.
And you're listening to the home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
Speaking of Austin Hedges, there may be no player in the game tonight that feels a little more pressure than Austin Hedges does. He's starting tonight. Oh. Mejia has the night off. But Hedges now has watched Francisco Mejia basically take over, right, as the catcher for the San Diego Padres. Hedges batting at 186. He's starting tonight, catching Eric Lauer. He's going to get some playing time down the stretch, but it's got to be interesting. You wonder what goes through a guy's mind like that. I mean, everybody's a competitor. Everyone's a gamer. Everyone wants to do the right thing, be a team player. But when you're competing with another guy for a job and they are basically beating you out for that job, mm-hmm. right, and you're now relegated to sitting on the bench most of the time. I mean, Ian Kinsler's another one. I mean, as soon as they brought Urias back up from AAA, Ian Kinsler, I know he pitched and hit a home run last night, but basically he's not playing.
No.
Anymore right now.
He's taking a managerial role on the bench.
As a matter of fact, he was actually down here taking some ground balls at first base a little while ago. Ian Kinsler was possible maybe that they would spell Eric Hosmer and give Kinsler some playing time at first base. But, you know, how do you react to that? Like, how would you react to it if you were a starting catcher like Austin Hedges? They traded for another catcher. A year or so went by. You both played. And then all of a sudden, he was the catcher and you weren't anymore.
I can tell you, in my radio career, early on, I thought I was the guy for my first show. And I wasn't. They replaced me with someone else. And it hurt. It really hurt. But you know
who
what
was the program director there?
I can't say that name.
Because whoever that program director
was. Genius.
Genius move.
But there. You know what I did? Yeah. Made me work 10 times harder.
Well, I don't have any doubt that Austin Hedges is going to keep working hard. You know, so we were talking about it yesterday. You know, what's going to happen with this catching situation? I still think that's fluid. It's up in the air. It hasn't been decided yet. Just like, you know, I don't think anything's been decided with the manager. I don't think anything's been decided with the pitching rotation. You know, and I'm talking about looking ahead for 2020 next year. So the Padres do have a lot to play for. I mean, people can talk about, well, they're not in the running and, you know, they're playing against teams, some of them that aren't going to be in contention. These Padre players better understand that they have a lot on the line the last 6 weeks of the season. All right.
We made it. Today was a weird one.
Thank the good Lord. I wasn't so sure we were going to make it today.
Today it's been so weird.
It was pretty weird. Matt Scraby, I think. Thank you. Thomas
Big
Andrews.
Thank you.
Odd Thomas was outstanding today. Tony Gwynn Jr. getting ready.
You can't ding yourself.
He gave himself a bell. I like that. Tony Gwynn Jr. handling radio tonight. Chris Ello handling pregame Padres Rays, which is coming up next right here. We'll be back after tomorrow's game. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.